आपके मनपसंद आकाशवाणी 106.5 FM Awakening the Mind and Spirit.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Panchayat on Akashvani 106.5 FM. The Nation's Intelligent Talk Show. Let's take a look at some of our international stories. Top US lawyer quits over vote for inquiry order. So apparently the US Attorney General has paved the way for prosecutors to investigate alleged irregularities in the presidential election. As to what this means, as to when the presidential election is going to be certified, I don't know. There already is a huge discussion because this was announced last night. So the pretty interesting development as to whether or not it's significant to impact on the outcome, I guess time will tell. It seems as though it's going to delay the certification of the result, that's for sure. So we'll wait and see what happens in the United States with this. What else is there? China's COVID vaccine trial halted in Brazil. The Sinovac clinical trial has been suspended after a severe adverse incident. Didn't really see what the adverse incident is. Biden tells Americans, I implore you, wear a mask. There's a feature piece on women changing the face of U.S. politics. Three men on trial over Barcelona jihadist attack. They're accused of helping the perpetrators carry out the 2017 attacks that left 17 people dead. UK unemployment rate continues to surge. Redundancies rose to reach a record high of 314,000. Let's see, what else do we have? McDonald's to introduce plant-based burgers. Brexit will be brutal for UK, warns ex-Prime Minister. Tropical storm Eta brings flooding to Florida. And that's basically a look at some of the major international headlines. We'll be taking a look at our local stories right here in the Morning Panchayat. Stay with us. Good morning, if you're now joining us, and a special hello to those people logged on to us via the internet. This is the Morning Panchayat on Akashvani 106.5 FM. On the front page of the Guardian newspaper, COVID lockdown, maximum security prison on high alert, 240 inmates isolated for virus tests, fear intensifies among relatives of officers too. Now somebody had to bring the virus into the prison. PDP forms alliance in Tobago, 76 people arrested on Zessa cruise. Everything is a Zessa list now, eh? ACP robbed in home invasion. Let's head into our newspaper and see what's on the inside. Maximum security prison on lockdown after latest virus scare. Health Ministry defends alcohol ban in restaurants. Dr. Miriam Abdul Richards, who seems to be being, well, she's featured prominently now on these press conferences hosted by the Ministry of Health. She's saying, the decision for restricting alcohol at restaurants, this is a policy decision that was taken by a group of persons based on the science and evidence on the impact of alcohol. Okay. She went on to say, we believe that alcohol from a behavioral pattern causes a disinhibition of behavior and thus results in persons reducing their anti-COVID measures in terms of face mask wearing and proximity, thus increasing their risk of COVID-19 transmission. So basically, in a nutshell, nice fancy words to say when all they drink rum, all they let down, all they got and do all they want. So if the consumption of alcohol, here's a common sense question to the doctor and the group of individuals who make decisions based on science and evidence, right? If the consumption of alcohol is the problem, how come we're still allowed to purchase alcohol however we want everywhere else except in a bar? If the consumption of alcohol allows us to, what did she say? Disinhibition. People say all kind of thing, yes? I don't know. Somebody put up something on social media about why Dr. Rowley have this thing against bars. I can't repeat that on the radio. This is not that kind of station. Hines says, too soon to celebrate COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough. It is. UNC sources reveal Kamala's relative to blame for plagiarized Biden post. Okay. Sources within the UNC have revealed that a close female relative of the opposition leader and not her communications team is to blame for the plagiarized congratulatory message posted to her Facebook account last Saturday. Guardian Media learned that the relative who made the mistake is not within the formal ranks of the UNC, but has full administrative rights for the opposition leader's official Facebook page. What? The information we received came just a few hours after the communications team purportedly apologized. So, a lot of developments on this thing. Apparently, the communications team issued an apology stating that they were totally responsible and they apologized to the political leader. This story here now from Akash Samro on page 86 of the Guardian newspaper suggesting that some close female relative of Kamala Prasad Bisesa has been posting to her Facebook page. You really don't know who to believe in this whole thing. I can tell you this, it becomes more and more embarrassing. That's for sure. Because if this is in fact true, you would really have to question somebody having that kind of access to what is deemed to be official correspondence from the opposition leader. PDP Tobago forwards a new coalition for THA race. Good for their port shipment under probe. Some bar owners agree with continued restrictions. I want the place to open back, but I want to live too. Okay. Good Samaritans offer food, clothing to family on the streets. COVID leaves 1,181 people jobless. And sometimes it's really a wonder. As the Minister of Labour, Stephen McClatchy, saying that only 1,891 people lost their work because of COVID. More taxes on tobacco products. Teen smoking in TNT, fourth highest in the region. Suspected pedophile beaten, tied up in carnage. Superintendent robbed in home invasion. Diver still missing at sea. We told you about that yesterday morning. Tobago residents angry after jail relocated to village. 76 held as Coast Guard intercepts Zessa boat party. So I guess that's basically a look at some of the major stories coming out of the Guardian newspaper. This morning, TTME Supermarket Association commit to affordable prices. Republic records 40% drop in profit. And Plibdeco sees 26% decline in profit as well. So look at some of the major stories from our Guardian newspaper. Let me say hi and good morning to Kieran.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020, and there are so many stories in today's China and Guardian. The biggest story in my mind continues to be the question of this release that was issued on the page of Kamala Prasad Bisesa. And, you know, it's bringing into disrepute the credibility of the United National Congress. This has not been an easy period for the UNC. The UNC suffered a defeat at the polls at a time when many people thought a defeat would not have been in question or part of the question. Since then, the UNC has begun its back and forth that is associated with the leadership of the party and internal polls. And now you have emerging this particular issue. Now, as it is, many people are discussing the key issues in the UNC, and some of the issues are becoming personality-based, or some of the discussions are becoming personality-based. But let's step outside of the personalities and let's assess what is going on. Firstly, you have an opposition leader of a country. Any country. Trinidad, Barbados, Zimbabwe, the United Kingdom, Argentina, wherever. You have an opposition leader of a country. The opposition leader of that country takes almost wholesale a statement from a politician in another country. That in itself is a major embarrassment. And it's an embarrassment on two levels. Number one, the level of the plagiarism in itself is an embarrassment, and the fact that she got caught. But number two, what is embarrassing is that it strikes or it raises questions about the value system and the values of that particular opposition leader in that particular country. And again, take the personalities out of it. Is it that the particular official is condoning the act of plagiarism? Have other press releases been plagiarized before? And in addition to not being original with press releases, are there other things with which that particular opposition leader may not have been original? So when the when that public official of any country in any area stands up and speaks about they have this plan, and stands up and speaks about they have this particular roadmap, or they have this particular recovery document, how are we to now know whether these documents and these pieces of textual information that is being presented by that official of any country are in fact original or aren't in fact plagiarized? And that needs to come out and be addressed immediately. The third thing is, so far, the lack of apology that has not come from the opposition leader. If it is, as the head of an institution, as the head of an office in the country, complete with staff, and as the head of a constituency of people, you have made a mistake, then I expect an apology to come from you. What we saw instead was the team that was supposedly responsible apologizing, and that to me was very instructive, because in a case like this, the brand is that of the opposition leader, the implication is for that of the opposition leader, and the idea that lower level operatives are now apologizing for something that's appeared on the page is a very good idea, because they are apologizing. But when you speak about the diplomatic issues, the opposition leaders of high level state entity and a high level state official, and you have, number one, the issue of offense against the other politician whose statement was taken almost wholesale. You have the issue of offense country to country. And, you know, you have the issue of offense to supporters. And I think that the release that was issued did, in fact, deal with the question of supporters. But again, from whom shall an apology come? If I am the parent of a house and my child has gone over by the neighbor and mash up something. Yes, it's one thing to send the child to go over by the neighbor and apologize, but ultimately, I must have a word with the neighbor and say, oh gosh, you know, I'm so sorry that child hadn't. Because the question of responsibility emerges. And when you compete for a position in an organization, you're not just accepting the glory of the position, but you're accepting the responsibility of it. So going back to the issue, now there's a new issue as to who really did the release. So the communications team issued us an apology for something that it is now claiming it had absolutely nothing to do. In my opinion, that's spineless. Because if you are part of a committee and you have not been responsible for a particular issue, then why apologize? What you should do is use the opportunity to show internally where the deficiencies are and just be honest with the people of Trinidad and Tobago. Now, there's a question of the relative having access to the Facebook page and posting. I personally have no problem with it, because as a leader, sometimes you need people who are outside of the organizational circle to be part of what you're doing. And quite frankly, you may trust people who are outside of your organizational circle a bit more, so it's okay to have people who are related to you involved. The question, though, is the extent of involvement. And now people have raised another key concern, which I think is an extremely important thing. How do you know that any of these statements that have been coming from that page that begin with good morning, everyone, because it's a signature start, good morning, everyone. COVID, good morning, everyone. Crime, good morning, everyone. Dr. Rowley, good morning, everyone. So how do you know that these good morning, everyone messages really do come from the opposition leader? And do the campaign was full of public commentary from both PNM and UNC, and to some extent the smaller political parties, but not to a very major extent. The last election was a battle between PNM and UNC, and people saw where politicians took very often to their social media and articulated their positions on issues. So if what we are seeing now is that there's a relative somewhere who writes what he or she wants, sends it for grammatical and spelling checks, and then it is posted without vetting by the opposition leader, then how are we sure that any of the things that have come out on the page are in fact the views of the leader of the opposition? One would expect at least some level of vetting when it comes to general policy positions. When it comes to the writing of it, you leave the writing of it to the professional writers. So I'm wondering whether or not the policy positions that were offered in any particular space were in fact from the opposition leader of that particular country. There are many personalities involved, and because politics is an emotional thing, people of course argue for and argue against based on who they like or who they don't like. But if you remove the personalities from it, you get a picture where some question marks are raised and more question marks are raised after. But there's a larger issue here. The larger issue continues to be, and please forgive me if I am mashing some cause this morning, the state of disarray that the opposition party seems to be in. Not disarray in the sense of being in a mess, but disarray in the sense of you don't get an idea that the institution is upholding the functions of the institution. So when you have somebody who makes the claims that party congresses have not been held and the party has not been able to rebut that effectively according to the constitution, that's a cause for concern. When you have the allegations being made that party circles and party executives have not been meeting, and then the party has not been able to respond to that with fact by showing X number of circles met X number of times, and therefore we have the proof to back it up, then all you get from it is rhetoric. And when you have now the position that this person is fighting an election, that person is fighting an election, and there's so much of bad talking that is involved in the process, one way or the other, or both ways, then you get the impression that the institution itself is being subject or second to the tone and tenor of the personalities. Whereas in other parties, the personalities are subject to the tone and tenor of the institution. And then further to that, you have now this major, major embarrassment of a key office in the country. And then you have a major issue such as the installation or the commendation of the incoming president of the United States of America, one of the most powerful people in the world. Of course, in this country, you have very active U.S. interests, very active British interests, and up comes this thing. It's confusing. It is symptomatic of it prompts the question, where really is the order? Where is the order? Who is in charge of what? What is in charge of what? For our communications team to jump out and apologize and then have an interview with a Guardian reporter indicating that they don't know what they're apologizing for. And, you know, somebody probably made him apologize and it was a relative. It just gives you this ongoing view from before the election to now that things simply need to be settled and an order needs to prevail. And the order that needs to prevail is that the party and the institutions of the party must prevail over the personalities and what the personalities want. And this is key, you know, because when you have persons who aspire to get into government, how they act at the level of their party is how they'll act at the level of the government. So it creates major cause for concern. And I think that Mrs. Prasad Bisesa has been very resilient in the past. She has been able to respond to a number of issues in the past. She has been able to explain her case in the past. And I think that there are many things for which she must be credited in the past. But these are certainly question marks that she needs to come out and respond to herself. in the interest of, number one, her personal credibility, number two, the credibility of the campaign she just led. Every day, there was a comment on Facebook for Mrs. Basalbi Sessa, which was carried in the media. It was spoken about by many political pundits all over the radio. It was carried in the papers. It was a discussion points for activists. And now people are wondering how many of that was really Mrs. Basalbi Sessa, and how much of that, not how many, but how much of that was Mrs. Basalbi Sessa, and how much of that was some ghostwriter in the background who probably did not even vet it, or probably didn't even let Mrs. Basalbi Sessa see, or did Mrs. Basalbi Sessa herself consider it important to ensure that the messages were correct, at least in principle. So there's an issue of how we engage, how leaders engage with the public. And leaders cannot be leaving their seats vacant and allowing others to ride in the PM1 and allow for others to engage in the public without at least having some type of sanction. I am very sure that there's a very plausible explanation. I am very sure that there's something that is very sincere in what was intended. And I am sure that there's something that perhaps people would understand more if they were explained more about it. But it speaks to the issue of the values of the leadership, or the possible values of leadership, of the way in which the leadership engages the population or does not engage the population. It speaks about the level of order within the party or the lack thereof. It speaks about finding scapegoats, because if a communication team has to apologize for something they didn't do, then that is nothing more than quote-unquote scapegoatism. And it speaks to moving forward. How do you, given the history of the party, move forward from beyond this? And it also raises questions about the core operations or the core thinking behind the campaign that just ended on August 10, 2020. Because if there could be such a faux pas type of thinking for a simple media release, you wonder what are some of the other issues. And as the election goes on, people make allegations about each other. People question the leadership and potential of each other, and therefore it makes you really sit back and wonder. But as I said, I am sure that there's something very sincere about this. I am sure that there's something very well intentioned about this. I am sure that there's an extremely plausible explanation. And all people really do need to see at this point, in order to let the matter rest, is a very simple explanation for Mrs. Basalbi Sessa, the accepting of the responsibility. And she has accepted responsibility before on several occasions. You will recall that when there was the issue with Rashmi Ramnarayan, Mrs. Basalbi Sessa did not hesitate to come out and accept responsibility and indicate that as Prime Minister, the buck stopped with her. And to be quite frank, that was, as far as I recall, the first time any Prime Minister did something like that, in terms of publicly go and make yourself vulnerable, is simply for the sake of accepting responsibility. And that was a very key part of her, the tenor of her administration in the early days. I'm sure that she is in a position to do the same thing, but people must just know. As I said, it has raised several issues about several things, and it is very interesting that this matter emerged almost on its own, and I think on its own, without the help of any opposing political camp, but it emerged on its own as a faux pas of the UNC. So we continue to see what comes out of it, but I think too that another key issue is the question of COVID leaving 1,891 people jobless. It has to be much more than that. You can't tell me that this is all the people that COVID left jobless. I saw where opposition sources were saying that over 65,000 people had lost their jobs prior to COVID-19 alone. And you wonder, over the past few years, from 2015 to before COVID-19, and since COVID-19, quite a number. So if this is the right figure, I would have doubts, because in my mind, the country was already extremely vulnerable when COVID-19 came in. The issue before COVID was the PNM. And I think that the PNM perhaps needs to re-examine the statistics and get to the ground of these figures. And Satish will probably have his own experience of people calling him for help because they've lost their job. Opposition and government MPs will have their experiences. Councillors will have their experiences. NGOs, churches, you know, it's so widespread that you really wonder if the quantitative data that you're being offered by the Ministry of Labour match the qualitative data that is being shared by people and their respective stories. But it's that time when we must go to our calls on 627-3223, 625-2257, and your WhatsApp messages on 306-1065, and your voice notes on that number as well.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish, Kiran. Hello? Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Satish, Kiran is original Arima from Malaba. Good morning to Princess Tong and Durbasa, Trace and Bukaru. You are long-standing good contributors to this intelligent program, and you have your take in the upcoming UNC internal election, and I know to whom I am throwing my support. This is a democratic process, and as I may not be available later this morning to question Mr. Barrett personally, and being advocates for Mr. Barrett, I would like you and any other to tell me, whereas Mr. Barrett was allegedly campaigning for Mr. Gypsy Peters in the Table and Maruga under the pretext of assisting pine farmers, there. One, could you tell me on that Easter weekend when he was Minister of Agriculture that you remained silent when pine farmers' crops were being bulldozed at Dawadi and it took Kamala Prasad Bisesa to stop the destruction as Prime Minister? Two, what are your plans to win the critical seats in the East-West Corridor and even send it up candidates in Tobago? Three, could you tell me, should Mr. Barrett lose to Ms. Kamala Prasad Bisesa, would he stay within the fold of this party with the same vigor and vitality and help rebuild the party? Four, would Mr. Barrett, if successful, would he be buying political scrap iron and old batteries to put in the party, seeing that he is now a champion of the Scrap Iron Dealers Association? And would he keep in his political knapsack excess baggage like a former politician who is burdened with allegations of financial impropriety in a World Football Association? And finally, how would he debunk the PNM's vilification of himself as a chief player in the now famous Dograi scandal? I await your responses.
627-3223-625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp messages, send those to 306-1065. See what we have for you. Good morning from New York. Good morning. I think it's so hypocritical that Kamala must apologize, and going forward, whatever she says will be doubtful. But when Rowley said he was not closing down Petrosian and went to close it down, everyone still voted for him.
There are many people who didn't believe Rowley. There are many people who will not believe Kamala. There are many people who will believe Rowley and defend Rowley. And there are many people who will believe and defend Kamala. That's just how it is in politics.
Another one. The things you have to listen to in this country, unbelievable. Vasan Barrett wants independent observers. Tell him to call Colin Partap, Michaela Pandey, and Gypsy, and even Dukran and Sipasad Bachan. And his good pals from the road to the end of life in Trinidad team. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Naparima. Arima, as far as I remember, there's another side of Vasan Barrett. He stood up against his own government for the farmers, right? I don't know if you remember that one. He stood up against his own government when they were going to bulldoze people crops and they were not treating them in a nice way. And about scrap iron, that is what he's hoping to get the leadership off, to get rid of the scrap iron and batteries that can even tumble, as what's happening right now. Thank you very much.
Hello, good morning.
Morning. Well, when Keith Rowley done with me, plenty scrap iron, so, you know, that would be a help. But I'm giving out my number again so that I can send two WhatsApp messages to Mr. Arima and anybody else, one dealing with the NSM so-called dog rice, and one dealing with the pineapple farmers. 268-4825. 268-4825. Send me a WhatsApp or call me later. and I'll send it to you somehow. Now, overall, it's a debate now, so, you know, we'll get these things going back and forth. But that's why I'm so happy that Mr. Barrett has made himself available at a sponsored cost. Somebody's paying for that. That's how important it is, I think, and I think that's a good thing. I want Mrs. Vicessa and all other contenders to at least let us hear them answer some questions. it's all well and great to have questions, but all sides have questions. All sides want answers. And I mean, I'm a participant in talk shows. It's clear that I am interested to hear what people have to say, and I want to say my piece and so on. So I am looking forward to somebody putting their money where their mouth is and making Mrs. Vicessa available, and she could pay for it herself also. Anybody, you know, let's hear the thing. Let's hear the people who are contending for our vote. Let's hear them talk on the issues that we are bringing up daily with each other, because clearly there will be some things for which I am unable to give any answer at all. Mr. Barrett would have to speak for himself. And there are some things that only Kamala would give, a sufficient answer, a good enough answer. So let's hear both sides. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Kiran and Satish, and to everybody out there, Santa Cruz here. I just want to let you all know that my sister made her final journey back home yesterday. Everything went off well. Everything went off good at 12:30 English time. It was done, and she had a real nice trainee send-off, you know, because she always waved that flag. Anywhere she went, because she traveled extensively all over the world, she waved that trainee flag. And she had a real nice trainee send-off. And so now, I know you all shared with me in my grief, and it was only fair for me to come and let you all know this morning that everything was done yesterday. The lockdown didn't prevent anything taking place. And she had a nice send-off, and now the family can put closure and grief in comfort. Thanks a lot, guys, for all the kind words and everything, and to everybody out there. Thanks again, and have a good morning.
You're most welcome, and of course, we are glad that things worked out the way that they should have. Hello, good morning.
Satish and Kiran, good morning.
Good morning.
Listeners, Princess Town here. You know, it is a sad moment. It is a real moment of grief for this country. But for those of us who supported the opposition and the UNC, and before the UNC, I must stress, the ULF and the NAR and the NATT and so on, coming all the way up to UNC. It is sad when you think of the days of the struggles and the sacrifice of people like Kelvin Ramnath, Nizam Mohammed, John Humphrey, Basudeo Pandey, and so many others who fought in the trenches, who fought and gave up their sweat, their blood, and their tears, so that today some of us, or most of us, can have a better day, our children and our grandchildren. We created that institution, the United National Congress, with the rising sun as our symbol. It is sad to see how some of the people nowadays, the political leader and her friends, her cronies, have hijacked the party. And this is why you have this plagiarization. If the institutions of the party were functioning properly and protocols were observed, that would never happen. That would have never happened under Mr. Basudeo Pandey. And it tells us the state of the party. How can we allow and condone this kind of recklessness? It is shameful and disgraceful, and I still want to make a clarion call. All is not lost to Dr. Sudratan Rambachan and Dr. Botiwari, two respected gentlemen who have served this country and who people will have look up to, that we need to hear their voices. The people are crying out for leadership and guidance, for a sense of direction. I'm calling on them to make a statement to tell us what is really happening. This country is in a crisis, and the UNC is not making it any better. There's hopelessness. Where is the alternative now? Who must we turn to? People have given their lives for the United National Congress and the struggles. And look at where we are today, to see people just masquerading and trampling on the backs of people and using power for themselves and their family. I am proposing Mr. Vasan Bharat can be that light, can be that new sense, that hope for us, that refresh and energy to bring back some semblance of sanity and some sense of hope for our country once more.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When you sat on the COP executive, wherever it was and all of that kind of thing, you were so concerned about the UNC and where it was and where it was going and all that kind of thing?
Of course. And that is why we formed the COP.
Thanks so much for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish and Kiran. Good morning, and to our listeners. Greetings. I made a statement yesterday on Twitter on the refinery. Let me read it again. Minister Colm Imbert announced in the Parliament, on September 20, 2019, that the refinery will be sold, has been sold to Patriotic Energies. Right? A definite statement. We now understanding under the prospects of on the Luxembourg market that when you look at that document, the government had no legal right to sell the petroleum refinery. We are asking the government to come clear on the issue.
Okay.
You said and made a declaration on September 2019, that it has been sold, maybe sold or given or leased or donated or what, to Patriotic Energies. When we realize now that they have no legal authority to sell the refinery. So before the election, they told people, right, people voted for them on that issue, that the local people own the refinery. Now we understanding the government had no legal right to sell the refinery.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. Here's the thing. You see that highfalutin kind of discussion about Patriotic and refinery and whether the government had the right and all of that kind of thing? The average citizen don't understand that. And if you stand up for a long period of time and you talk about that, quite frankly, you've lost the attention of the average citizenry. As educated as we like to think that this population is, those discussions fly above the head of the majority of us. We like bacchanal, we like confusion, and we don't latch onto them things. And if we are being told as a nation that the government didn't have the legal standing to do what they did, who is taking them to court to challenge it and to stop what's going on from going on? Because telling me about it, all well and good, enough, you understand? And raising the fact that, you know, the government didn't have the legal standing or however you want to, authority, whatever, to do what they're doing, all well and good. What are you doing about it? And that's the question that you're going to be confronted with. And I'll be real honest with you. I had the opportunity to listen or to skim through and try to pick out what was said at the UNC's virtual meeting last night. And maybe I missed it. And if I did, somebody please tell me about it and tell me where I can find it. I think everybody, most people, some people, a few people, anyhow you want to describe it, were looking out to hear what the opposition leader would have had to say about this raging controversy that has been grappling the headlines and the front page of the newspapers and everything else about the faux pas, if that's what you want to describe it as, from the UNC's communications team. I don't know about anybody else. I didn't hear a single word about it last night. I don't know if that's deliberate and they're hoping that this thing going to die a natural death, but it won't, because apart from the national community going after the jugular of the UNC and seeing this and smelling blood, you have an internal election where people are going to use this to their advantage. You can't get away from it. It has happened, and whether or not Kamala Prasad Bisesa, as the political leader of the party, needs to address it frontally, the debate is open. There are some people who are saying, you see me, that's a waste of time. I don't want to hear about that. That my party do that, we go deal with it and we go move on. And then there are others who are saying, well, no, we need to know from the political leader what is her stance. An apology from the communications team may or may not suffice. I don't know. The jury is out. We've got the Morning Panchayat poll. Stay with us.
Akashvani 106.5 FM, awakening the mind and spirit.
It's time for the Morning Poll. morning poll question focuses on a discussion that we've been having since Saturday, apparently. And this blunder with the UNC's communications team. A story in the newspaper suggesting that it's not the communications team, it's somebody else. So whoever it is, I don't know. Initially, it was described as an administrative error. Then, of course, we got the explanation yesterday from the communications team. The apology to the political leader. Kamala Prasad Bisesa herself has not made any mention of what transpired. Last night at their virtual meeting, no mention was made of this. And I said, I listened to it. If I missed it, I don't want to misrepresent what happened. And if it was addressed last night, please feel free to send us a message and let us know. But it does not appear from what I listened to that I heard anything about it at all. I don't know if that's where our question is going to lie this morning. Is it the right approach for the opposition leader, the party's political leader, to make no comment about something that people are describing as a major incident, as a major embarrassment? Or does she need to make a statement? And that's our question this morning. Do you think it is necessary for Kamala Prasad Bisesa to issue a statement on the plagiarism controversy? Yes or no? 627-3223, 625-2257. There have been views on both sides of the fence. Some suggesting, well, the communications team issued a statement, that should suffice. Others are saying, well, no, we need to hear from the party's leader as to how this happened, why it happened, and how it's not going to happen again. So the choice is yours this morning. Yes or no, what do you think? Is it necessary for Kamala Prasad Bisesa to issue a statement on the plagiarism controversy? Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Satish and Kiran. David said yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Manzan is saying no.
Thank you, Manzan. Hello. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, St. Augustine say yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Sangri Grandi, yes.
Thank you, Sangri Grandi. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, I said yes, Guarakara.
Thank you, Guarakara. Hi, good morning.
Morning, good. Yeah, yes.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Arima, yes.
Thank you. Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from Charleville and I'm saying no.
Thank you, Charleville. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. I am Michael Ash and I'm saying yes, she has to answer.
Okay. Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Sat, and good morning to Kiran and calling from Edinburgh. I'm saying no.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. No.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Philippine. Yes, you have to say that.
Thank you so much, Philippine. Hello, good morning. Okay, sorry we weren't hearing you. Try us back. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Shagwana says no.
Thank you, Shagwana, for voting with us as well. 7 minutes after seven. Do you think it is necessary for Kamala Prasad Bisesa to issue a statement on the plagiarism controversy? Hello, good morning.
David, no.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Devan Jaipu. Eldorado, yes.
Thank you, Eldorado. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Central Division says no.
Thank you, Central Division. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Akul from Bukau. I say a big yes to that question.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I say yes, Woodland.
Thank you, Woodland. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Sandy. Thank you, Rand. This is Freeport, and Freeport said no.
Thank you, Freeport, for voting with us as well. 627-3223-625-2257. Do you think it is necessary for Kamala Prasad Bisesa to issue a statement on the plagiarism controversy? Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Kunupia said no.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Lakwasa Freeport say yes.
Thank you for your call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Satish and Kiran Pinal said yes.
Thank you, Pinal. Hi, good morning.
Hello, morning. Yeah, New Grand say yes.
Thank you, New Grand, for voting with us. And our final call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Gasparillo. Say a big no.
Thank you, Gasparillo. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Morning Panchayat Poll. Got your results in just a bit. Stay with us. Minutes after seven. Good morning to you if you're now joining us, and a special hello to those people logged on to us via the internet. Before we went to the break, we conducted the morning poll. We had asked the question, Is it necessary for Kamala Prasad Bisesa to issue a statement on the plagiarism controversy? Our results this morning.
This morning. 65% of all callers said yes and 35% of all callers said no. Once more, 65% of all callers said yes, 35% of all callers said no. Those people who called and said no, I would love to know why. And the answer to me is beyond the shadow of a doubt, yes. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, yes. And there are many reasons why I should. Reason number one is the fact that you have been accused of plagiarizing somebody else's work. That is not a small allegation. Maybe for people who do not appreciate the intricacies of plagiarism, it's no big thing to them. But in the real world, in the working world, in which people must submit projects and submit proposals and submit plans and submit statements and come up with content of your own, like songs and music and dances, if you are ever accused of taking somebody else's material and using it as your own, that is a huge thing. That is not a small thing. That is a major thing. So plagiarism is a major allegation, and that needs to be responded to. Number two, it raises questions about the meddling of family business into the state's operations or into the party operations. Again, that is a huge thing. You don't have persons who are elected by the membership of the party in different positions to execute different functions and then circumvent that by having people who are outside of the structure, much more related to you, involved in the running of the party. Because if a relative is involved in the publishing of Facebook messages, what else in the party could her relatives be involved in? So it needs to be responded to on that basis. It also needs to be responded to on the basis of the question of judgment, because we just came out of a general election campaign in which many statements were attributed to Mrs. Prasad Bisesa and in which many decisions have been criticized. And there's this growing picture of Mrs. Prasad Bisesa that she makes decisions in a very peculiar way, and that needs to be addressed. So I think that these matters need to be addressed. And let me talk to people who said no. Don't be hypocrites this morning. When Colm Imbert made some statement back a few months, years ago, and then he said that his Facebook account was hacked, the same people who are calling to say no now, didn't they call for Colm Imbert's head and question, well, how could Colm Imbert claim the account was hacked and it's really him and what have you? When Terence Dayal Singh made a very similar comment and then went back and claimed his account was hacked. And I think there was also an incident in which Daryl Smith might have done the same thing and claimed in which his account was hacked. Anytime PNM people have issues in terms of what was put up on their Facebook page, UNC people are the first people to call for accountability. And it should not be that we are calling for accountability on one end of the spectrum just because them is PNM and we is UNC. And then when it comes to a matter that falls into your backyard, you don't. And I'll tell you why. The UNC's political leadership, like the PNM's political leadership, are not people unto their own. They are people who have deliberately chosen to represent a constituency. So what your leader does reflects on you. And that's why UNC people get so angry with Dr. Rowley. Because what he does reflects on the entire country. And that's why many people may be angry with Mrs. Prasad Bisesa. Because what she does reflects on, number one, her party. Number two, the people outside of her party would have voted for her as opposition leader. So I think that anytime a leader has a question mark about them, it needs to be answered, especially going into in an internal election. You don't want these types of things floating around. It is in her interest to kill the matter because you don't want people to take it and drag it out. It is also in her interest to kill the matter, regardless of if there was an internal election, because you are the opposition leader. At any point in time, you can never tell what the circumstances are. There may be a snap election, and therefore the credibility of all those who present themselves for the election processes will naturally emerge. So I think that for all of those many reasons, people who are calling for Mrs. Bazabi-Zessa to not respond need to stop being hypocritical this morning, because you're all with the same people who went to turn on Colin Butt and call for responsibility when Colin Butt posted something and said his profile was hacked. You are with the same people who call for Terence Dial Singh to be accountable when his profile said something and his profile was hacked. When Keith Rowley makes statements and the statements are questionable and people are finding that Rowley is being so offensive and so this and so that, you all hold everybody else to account. You must hold your leader to account as well.
It's a ticklish situation, depending on where you sit and how you look at things. There are those who see this as something dealing with Kamala Bazabi-Zessa entirely. It may or may not be so. There's a larger picture here. And the larger picture here is the party. Because a statement from the political leader of any party is representative of everyone in the party. And for that reason alone, Kamala Bazabi-Zessa cannot wish this one away, as unfortunate as it might have occurred. And the circumstances, the sequence of events that led to it taking place may have been totally out of her sight, because she just wasn't, or maybe she had too much confidence in the people there, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can not make a statement on this one. It's going to cause more damage.
And
by leaving it unsaid,
yeah,
it's going to cause more damage, it's going to allow things to fester. There are people who will use this for their own gain inside your party, outside your party, and everything else. This is a terrible situation that should never have happened in the first place. It has happened. Has to be dealt with. Put to rest.
And as you've said this morning, it happened over the weekend. You've had the brilliant opportunity of a Monday night forum last night in which the entire country was looking at you. And perhaps even the entire world, because I am very sure that this matter didn't end in Trinidad and Tobago, you know. I am sure that there are many politicians all over the world who follow politics, and this matter would have been certainly registered in the eyes and the interests of those UK politicians. So if somebody in Zimbabwe thieves my work and it comes to my attention, or allegedly steals my work and it comes to my attention, I peep in through the window and I on the internet all the time to see what is this person saying or what has come out of it. So this is also something for her to recognize, that in their international eyes undoubtedly, which will be very curious in assessing what our next move is.
This is the Morning Panchayat. Stay with us.
Let's see who else is on the line. Good morning. Hello. Okay, the person is on the line but not responding. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Kiran.
Good morning.
And good morning, Satish and listeners. I'm calling from Arima. You know, many people don't realize that it is at the tip of our fingertips now. One touch and the world know what's going on. And when it is we live in this world for more information, sometimes many people don't know how to utilize it and do it. But the thing about it, Mrs. Bazabi-Zessa, at present, is the leader of the opposition. At present, she's the political leader of the party. And it has thousands and thousands of people who are under her, and they're looking forward for direction. And if it is she does not want to apologize, it's not a simple matter. It is something serious. And the thing about it, she had so much people, not in fact had, she had so much people, attorneys and advisor in her office. She just have to put it out and get a better response. In the beginning, she should have done that. And if she know there is a mistake and people are talking about it, that comes within the party and they want to apologize, she should make it right. And she should do the right thing and then move on. But if it is you don't do the right thing and don't say the reason what it is, because you have supporters, even the people who are not supporting you as political leader and not a party member, when time for election, it does not look at that most of the time. People want to vote and vote for who it is they want. Thank you very much and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Thank you very much for your call. Yes, another reason why Mrs. Prasad Bisesa should respond. Someone has sent me the link to a newspaper in Guyana. And apparently now it's being spoken about in Guyana. A story, a newspaper called the Starbrook News. Maybe I've pronounced that correctly. I can't really talk Guyanese. But, you know, it's the Starbrook News. They did a report on this matter. As a matter of fact, I think they referred to a Trinidad Guardian article which discussed the story. So now the diaspora in Guyana and the wider Guyana, they are aware of the matter, and I'm sure they will be looking on to see what type of response, because Trinidad and Guyana are very close. We are close culturally, we are close politically. A large part of it has to do with the fact that both of these countries have substantial East Indian populations. So often you will find that people pay interest, not necessarily total attention, but some interest to what's going on in Guyana and vice versa. So it's the point I made earlier today is that the international community will obviously be peeping to see what goes on. Well, the peeping has started. Good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning to Kiran here right now.
Good morning.
This is Woodland calling. I'd like to say a special good morning to Mrs. Santa Cruz, because recently she passed through a lot of things, and I'm glad that all went well with her family. I'd like to say good morning to Ms. Anagos. Kiran, you know, while going through the sacred texts, the books and so on, I've always come across the people that who is really saintly and good quality and spiritually, and that they are divine in nature. These people have a way of doing things, and that is, even though they are right, they take the humble position of accepting defeat, which, you know, truth does not be overcome by lies. And so I believe, like I called it when the last time I called, I say that Mrs. Prasad Bisesa is far too intelligent. Respond to all these maybe so-called trash. But she knows. She knows better than that. When the time comes, she will apologize. I am saying here right now that people who has her trust, and she trusted them, they will do the right thing by saying who really posted that. And I don't believe that she gave any sanctions or any credence to give that Facebook out. You know what I mean? Anyway, but as I mentioned, that good people that always forgive first. And you mentioned, Kiran, that she was the first. As a leader, she takes the position of apologizing for her party's failure or whatever. She will do that when the right time is right. And far as way I am concerned, far as way I believe, and I my heart is that it doesn't take two kings to rule one kingdom at the same point in time. She's the leader, and she will know what to do at the right point in time. That is how you have one king in a kingdom ruling at one point in time. This is what I know to be fact, and I accept that. I thank you for my call, Kiran.
Thank you very much for your call. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Bukaro.
Good morning, Bukaro.
Satish and Kiran, it takes a big person in this world to say that they are wrong. Nobody is bigger than any other thing. And when you do that, you make yourself more happy. How can we trust someone who is head of a department and something goes wrong there and they don't want to take responsibility? If you are head of any organization, the buck stops with you. No matter what people do, whether they are wrong or whether they are right, they look at you. They doesn't look at the person who do it when it is alleged. But I believe she must have done it. Because when I used to work in the ministry and a letter comes from the PS, if the PS don't sign it, or the AO4 signed it, the AO4 stated under the letter for the permanent secretary. If the permanent secretary signed it, the permanent secretary signed it. So if someone else wrote that letter or whatsoever, posted on the photo, they'd have put for Ms. Kamala Prasad Bisesa.
No, I am of the opinion she did it, because knowing that how she ruled the party and how she controlled it and who she put where she want and all these sorts of things, technically, I would believe that, yes, she must have done it. I hope I am wrong. My next point is, I heard Obama says that you must serve the people's interests first and not yours. That's a very, very, very good statement. All politicians are there to serve the people's interests, but they do it the other way. They serve their interests first, but one day they all have to go. If they don't go, maybe God take them, and they would have to go too. It is not an easy situation with politicians. When they go up there, they feel they're Lord and all and mighty, and then after they eventually have to come down when there is no longer in there. We must be fair. If we don't be fair, firstly, when you're going to politics, you must be fair. As a past minister once says to me, that a man is going to sell his mother's birthright to get into parliament is the only place I have money. He did not say to steal. That is the quotation that he also says. That is my next point. Is the Freeport mission over again? I'll be complaining it every day until they fix it. I tried to call a few people. They said they would call back. They all refused. Politicians I'm speaking about. And that Freeport road, just after Crazy Junction, you're going up to Freeport, is causing a terrible traffic, tremendous amount of traffic. Yesterday, I tried to use it. It took me almost 20 minutes just to get on that road. If WASA dig it, could have just filled the hole a little bit. So the people who are using the road, there are about 6 or 8 potholes. WASA have a big one there just by Freeport, by Crazy Junction. If you can just fill that one, because that one causing the majority of the traffic, I'll be so thankful, whether the councillor, whether the member of parliament, or whether the UNC have a local government shadow minister, so I can probably call them. If they can call on the radio, I'll be thankful if they give me the name of the person and the number. I'll call them and tell them, kindly fix that road, because it's causing traffic past the police station up to the traffic light in St. Mary. It is extremely terrible, terrible, terrible. I thank you ever so much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much for your call. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yes. Simply called today to...
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Enterprise.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, I want to sincerely congratulate Mr. Joe Biden and Ms. Kamala Harris on their victory in that U.S. election. They have eased tension not only in America, but throughout the world, from the Far East, in areas like China, to the Middle East, in areas like Iran, to even in our own part of the world, the Caribbean, of CARICOM, Cuba, Venezuela, you name it. Even as far as the UN is concerned, the World Health Organization can breathe a sigh of relief now as funding is going to be restored. We have the global warming accords that were signed that were broken. We're going to see that as well being resumed. You know, when I look at the reign of this man, I want to use the word reign. I think it can be best described by David Ruller's Calypso, The Rant of a Madman. This man did not used to listen to even the scientists, even his own advisors, and do some of the most crazy things in this world. I think even Trinidad is going to get even a better breathing space now as we go about trying to monetize our oil and so on. So again, I want to congratulate Mr. Biden on his victory. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for your call, Enterprise. Good morning.
Mr. Kieran and Mr. Satish, a blessed morning to you all. This is Mr. Digo Martin.
Mm-hmm.
The poll question, 85%, I would agree with them. Because this government, what we have now, tells too much alike. We hear about child abuse, woman abuse. But this abuse, oh God, Mr. Kieran. People have to understand, the greatest power when you go in the sea is the underground tide, not the wave that breaking and making all those noise. We must think. When you give life to something, that when you tell a lie and you give it life, it has come to life. But if you don't, who's saying, Mrs. Kamala said that, I could take a naked body, cut, and come and look for you and cut your head off with my camera and put it on that body. And this is how simple things can go on in this country. Today is just a touch button to change a whole wide world. One touch. I could call somebody and relate a big lie on somebody and mash up a whole family. We must understand these things from email gate right
down, we coming down with lies, and confusion in the minds of the people. Are we spiritual, or are we the children of the devil? You know, Jesus Christ had 12 people that followed him, and each one of them disowned him in the end. All of them betrayed him. And this is why we, this person, have to be, they say Jesus Christ died for sinners, which is not true. So he died for sinners and the good people must punish. Oh gosh, for 2020 years, we listen to the Bible, they tell us lies within that. They tell us lies and we come so common now, we believe in lies. Have a blessed and wonderful day, Mr. Karen.
Thank you very much for your call. Actually, I don't think that all of Jesus Christ's disciples disowned him. It was the disciple Judas that betrayed him, and it was the disciple Peter who denied knowing Christ. But I don't know that the rest of them disowned them. You are listening to The Morning Panchayat. Let's see who else is on the line. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Gerard.
Good morning.
Calling from Dakarico.
Sure.
You know, sometimes things happen so easily. People don't realize it's taking place, eh? You take 4 years ago before Donald Trump came on the scene, what was taking place in this world? Every other day, ISIS coming on TV and cutting off a man's head, showing the whole world that. Everybody watching that. The Persian Gulf, kidnapping Americans and all sorts of people. The Chinese man, Kim Jong-un, shooting rockets all over in the air. Let me put it in a nutshell. The world gets very quiet since Donald Trump come and restore American dominance in the world. And yet people are talking this man. Right? I mean, what really wrong with people? The man survived all kind of pressure in his own country. People false things for Russia, this and up to now, and this election is over yet, counting still going on. And as far as this message with Kamala, what people trying to say? Kamala ain't capable of writing a message on her own. That you have to steal somebody's message and send it. That's unthinkable, man. Come on, let me get real. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Takarigo, for your call. Well, minor corruption, Kim Jong-un wasn't Chinese. Kim Jong-un is North Korean. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
From Pinal. Yeah, we know Kamala could write a message on her own. The thing is that she didn't write it. She didn't oversee it. And you could take the position that these are things done by lower-level people. But how low are these lower-level people? You don't expect that the leader will touch everything, right? But, you know, you take a look in from time to time. And let's say on this occasion, she said, well, that's a simple thing to do. If my SEA child could write a congratulatory message, all it really has to say is congratulations. Everything else is a little embellishment. And, of course, you could read what other people say if you are that infantile and you don't know how you could embellish your congratulations. Your basic word is congratulations. And now you start to pretty it up, right? We have shared values and our countries have been friends and we have great hope for the American people and this and that and the other, right? You could, you know, depending, so you move up from SEA level to O level, which CSEC in CXC, right? And you them, because they know more words, it's the same grammar skills, same, but you just know more words, you have more life experience, you embellish the thing, right? So what was the level of the person or persons? A whole committee apologize, eh? A whole committee get together and say, let's go and see what this Englishman have to say. And you know what? We can't write that same thing in our own words. We are so dumb, we are so incompetent, that we have to take the whole thing word for word. First of all, we cannot create anything out of our own imagination, starting with the word congratulations and some embellishments, that we have to go and see what other people say. We have not heard or seen of these things before. It has never happened before in the history of the world that congratulations have been sent back and forth. So we have to go and see what this Englishman says. And then we have to copy it word for word and just change a little bit in between here and there. You know, what kind of people do you have working with you? That is the thing, the people that you pick. You know you pick these hopeless, incompetent people, and then you don't watch over them. Just like what happened before the election, right? African people are very sensitive to this banana business. You, just before the election, you have an African person pleading for some food, and they're sensitive about that too. That how people feel they are poor and they are this and they are underachievers and so on. Begging for some food outside a supermarket, and somebody, some Indian person, give them bananas because you're a monkey. Nobody could see through that. And even when it started playing in the media, and there was an outcry, and Keith Rowley came out and started hitting six at every ball, it didn't stop. You know, what kind of management is that? I think she has lost it. She has lost it completely. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Good morning.
Good morning, Kieran, again.
Good morning.
I'm Original Arima here. Whereas there is divisive remarks on social media on both ethnic sides this, in this country with respect to the elevation of Ms. Kamala Harris as vice president-elect of the USA, in the village of Tulasendrapuram in India, according to yesterday's Guardian, they are celebrating with prayers and firecrackers, according to yesterday's Guardian. Waking up to the news of Kamala Harris' election U.S. Vice President, I'm quoting from the newspaper report, overjoyed people in her Indian grandfather's hometown set off firecrackers and offered prayers yesterday. We will celebrate with firecrackers, distributing Indian sweets to people and praying in the temple. There was more singing and dancing and firecrackers throughout the day in the village, where cutouts and posters wishing Harris a grand success adorned walls. Now, you see, is a patriot acceptable in his or her own country? No, I'm Jamaica. I wonder if there will be similar celebrations. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call. 627-3223, 625-2257. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
I think we have to
You're calling us from where?
I'm calling from Abula.
Sure.
The question of the opposition leader, right, Mrs. Bisessa, right, the country... She became leader of the opposition, and the country, the Trinidad and Tobago government, salary. They employ staff that is paid for by the state that assist her in doing that job. There is no excuse at the end of the day, whether it is her cousin, her sister, her staff, whoever it is, she has to own it. And it is one paragraph that she couldn't write that she needed all of these people engaged in. Mrs. Bisessa has to go. The people of this country and her supporters must understand that unless we want, which is the people opposed to the PNM, unless we want to form government, we could complain to death about the PNM. If we don't have a viable option, then we will not be in government to do what we believe is right. And this lady has fought the 2015 election about make it about Kamala, and she lost. She fought the 2020 election, and she lost. Because it was about Kamala again. And in 2025, it will always be about Kamala again because she's interested in herself. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Some people may argue that, you know what, you're making good points. Others may argue that you're being too hard on Mrs. Bisessa, and this is where delegating of responsibility comes in.
Akashvani 106.5 FM, awakening the mind and spirit.
Let's see who is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Port of Spain here.
Good morning.
Greetings to all. I see you all making a mountain of a molehill of this release here. The point is, it hasn't cost the taxpayer a cent, okay? I view things very important in terms of cost. That blunder didn't cost the taxpayer any money, right? Now, let me talk about the property tax. Up to now, we have never had a rational discussion on that property tax, where the government is now charging you to live in your own house. They have never told us the objective of the tax, what are the benefits we are going to receive as a property owner, whether all the money will go to the consolidated fund, or how much is going to the fund, and how much to the local government. Remember, they said the property tax will closely be tied to local government improvement. That has never happened. And if you want to see a tax
based on political victimization and corruption is this property tax. There is no objective criteria to levy this tax. It is purely subjective criteria. And whenever you're levying a tax, it must be based on objective criteria where all will be treated evenly and equally. Let's talk about the revenue tax that I am going to be made poorer. They're going to charge me for living in my own house without telling me what I'm going to get and what they're going to do with the money and how they prevent the money from being stolen. The pack of thieves they are dealing with. Let's talk about the revenue, that property tax. I'm scared like hell. I have to pay to live in my house. I don't know what I'm getting, but you're charging me. And most of all, I don't know the criteria. When you come at my house, I don't know what I have to pay taxes on. And that is what is taking place with this property tax. You'll see political victimization and corruption as you'll never see, and maybe the PNM government want it so. They want it so. Now let me talk about that, because that is going to make me poorer, right? That's going to make me poorer, and I'm a pensioner. And I catch you in hell already. Don't push me to the brink. Don't allow me to eke out an existence. I'm existing. But when you have to eke out, E-K-E, when you have to eke out an existence after serving this country, that's wrong. Let's talk about the property tax and the benefits, but they're not telling us. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. 627-3223-625-2257. Good morning, Rio Clara here. Kamala should step down until she clears her name, then come back. Another one. Where is this? Good morning to the caller in favor of Trump. Wake up. Trump is the worst president in the history of the U.S. He's worse than the present prime minister of TNT with his behavior, and I know for a fact that you're not a supporter of Dr. Rowley. Somebody sending note to our poll question. President-elect Biden was charged with plagiarism in 1987, and today he stands to become the 46th president of the United States. My point is the communication department of the party issued an apology and took responsibility for the error, so I don't know what the big hullabaloo is about all of this. Stay with us.
Akashvani 106.5 FM, awakening the mind and spirit.
627-322-3625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Hey, morning, Patricia, Mr. Vasant on the panel here. I have a proper question for Mr. Vasant Barat. Where were he for the last general election? What part did he play in trying to get the United National Congress into government? Because he was silent all the time, and that's all of a sudden, because of the internal election, he jumped on board. That's one question. And the second thing is that when the United National Congress with the People Partnership was in power, every morning, Ramesh Varas Maharaj and Bazi Pandey, they were always bashing the Prime Minister. Are they still around, or they leave the country? Because I'm not hearing them at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I don't know where they are. I really can't say. I'm sure Mr. Barrage is listening, so he'll have answers for your questions. Well, I think those questions were posed to him already on the program, because this has been running for a couple of weeks. Well, 627-322-3625-2257. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But you see, I'm trying to get him to talk with him, but no, I'd like to ask him, when Kamala wanted to be opposition leader, she needed, I think, 7 people. Well, to me, I see him with his hand in his pocket, walking up and down. He didn't. I would like to ask him if he was a part of the team. And secondly, is truth or false? Let me see. Did he campaign for Winston Gypsy Peters, who lost the election to the young lady? I want to know that. But if he campaigned for Gypsy, well, listen to what I'm saying carefully. I want the nation to hear. He is a Judas-ism. Judas-ism.
Okay, listen. Thanks. I mean, I think you all not listening, or if you're listening, you're not hearing, because the man has said on numerous, I think when we began
from the
this series, the very beginning. The man has been saying that he was not there to campaign. He repeated it today. I think he repeated it last time. Every single time the question comes up, he gives you the very same explanation. It's up to you to believe it or not.
And you know, it's one thing to be political. I don't mind you be political if you're for this candidate or not this candidate. But let's not be disingenuous. You could be political, but don't be disingenuous. There was an issue. The issue has been responded to. It has been responded to by Mr. Barrett. And not just Mr. Barrett. It has been responded to by the people who are now the basis of the claim that he went to campaign and finance.
The people who invited him there.
People who invited him. So Mr. Barrett has responded. The people who has invited him has responded. The PNM who could make any amount of control that they wanted.
The only person who has not responded. We should call Gypsy and ask him.
Maybe we should. You know, I know. Probably we have Gypsy's number somewhere. But let's not be dishonest and let's not be disingenuous. If you don't like Mr. Barrett and you don't like Kamala, pick them apart. But when they have responded to an issue and they have responded to an issue in a credible manner, don't perpetuate the issue just because it suits your political purpose.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I want to tell all UNC supporters and voters in the internal elections, a vote for Vasan Barrett is a vote for Michaela Pandey and Basdev Pandey. I am like the proverbial PNM supporter, sticking with my own, Mrs. Kamala Prasad Bisesa. Thank you, sir.
There are those who don't necessarily think that a vote for Basdev Pandey and Michaela Pandey is a bad thing. Okay, you see that? Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I really tried to get on earlier, but that's okay. But I will ask my questions nonetheless. Is that Mr. Barrett indicated that he would have written the leader. But what was stopping him from still coming out and support UNC candidates for the general election in 2020? What makes Vasan Barrett so special that he had to get and say, yes, go ahead? There were candidates, there were persons who did not get seats, but went and campaigned in constituencies for the general election of 2020, because the main idea was for the PNM to be voted out.
So, caller, let me ask you a question. If the main idea is for the PNM to be voted out, and Mr. Barrett is like any other member of parliament, why did the opposition leader, Kamala Prasad Bisesa, not respond to him?
Well, that I can't answer.
It must be an answer, because this morning we are taking Mr. Barrett to task because we are looking at his version of the events and we're seeing that his version isn't true. But why are we not looking at the next side as well?
Well, again...
So if the opposition leader could respond to plenty MPs and could respond to a lot of people, why did she not respond to Mr. Barrett? And there have been several virtual campaign meetings in which Mrs. Prasad Bisesa had an opportunity to debunk what Mr. Barrett is saying, and she did not.
Well, Mrs. Bisesa has many other things to deal with for the nation.
So it is okay for Mrs. Bisesa to have plenty other things to deal with and not put getting rid of the PNM first. But it is not okay for Mr. Barrett to have plenty other things to do with and not deal with the PNM first.
Well, clearly.
So Mrs. Bisesa could be busy and not respond to one of her own MPs, but Mr. Barrett could be put to hang out on a tree, in the event, and notwithstanding.
Not a sitting MP, sir. Right? So to say that, he's not.
Caller, you have to be. You see, I don't mind people are for and against. I really don't mind that. You could be for Mr. Barrett against Mr. Barrett. You could be for Mrs. Bisesa against Mrs. Bisesa. What I have a challenge with is with people choosing discussions and angles of discussions that are not fair. That is what I have a challenge
fair
with.
Of you, Kirat, that is fair. However, I still say, why he could have come into St. Augustine, he's the former MP. He could have gone to Sunapuna. He could have come into St. Joseph, he's the former candidate.
And I agree with you entirely. He could have done so. But if it is that we are saying that there must be a line of order in the UN, in the United National Congress, and your political leader is key, then should the political leader not decide in her strategy where that person's profile is best suited in order to boost the number of votes?
Well, again, you're quite correct in that.
So had he gone to a constituency and campaigned, and any constituency, people would have been saying, you know what, Vasan just go on and ask the political leader not to keep undermining the political leader. But when he writes to the political leader in asking the political leader to include his engagement as part of an overall strategy, people have a problem with that too.
Well, no, I think you're thinking way ahead. But, however, you had people like Kevin Ramlerine, he went the first seat, he didn't get it. He went and campaigned, Ramona Ramdial campaigned other areas, right?
Actually, Ramona Ramdial went on record as saying that she consulted with the political leader. And she told the political leader of her intention to have to campaign and still assist, and the political leader responded to her.
Well, that's fine.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
So the point that I'm making is, if you want to be for or against, no problem. But let's be fair in our discussion.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sadish.
Good morning to you.
All right. If I had to vote, I would vote for Kamala. I would never vote for Basan. If Basan is leader, I would never vote UNC again.
I guess you're entitled to your opinion.
No problem.
As with everybody else. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Bukavu. There's a caller who called and says that I vote for Basan, I vote for Makila, and I vote for Pandey. I wish if that is really, really true. And if that is true, I would support Basan twice. No, I support him once, I would support him twice. Because one of my reasons is that same caller, I'm sure he have one of his family or his friends or somebody close to him using a foreign news car. If it was Mr. Basdev Pandey, we're out of face. All these big companies and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for motor car. And look at this Alcott. We have water because of Mr. Basdev Pandey. The budget, we never had all these high prices. Sometimes we just have a budget for 10 minutes. Now we have a budget for hours under Mr. Brian Quaitong. When you talk about the airport, when you talk about paving the roads, look at the issue about the tech, by the technical school, they're going to San Fernando, where you're in Maracas with the waves and all these sorts of things. Mr. Basdev Pandey as leader, and he take responsibility for everything that he have done, and he take responsibility for everything that he did not do too. I am saying that Mr. Basdev Pandey was the best prime minister of this country, and if he is supporting Mr. Bharat and Mr. Bharat is supporting him, I think we would have a better country and a better place to live in Trinidad and Tobago for we and our children. And the next thing is, we must be honest when we make a decision, as Kieran wisely said, whether it's for your father, against your father, your mother, against your mother, or your children or anybody. I am saying that, Pate, and I am saying we must be honest to ourselves. I thank you ever so much.
Thank you for your call, Bukaro. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. I want to relay an experience I had. I'm calling from Tabaki constituency. My wife and myself, we used to attend meetings once every month, UNC meeting held by Ramesh Lawrence Maharaj. Then Mr. Rambachan took office. The first meeting Mr. Rambachan held, we normal figure was 30, 35 people. That meeting had 135. 100 COP people and 35 UNC. And they covered a lesser position and demanding way, this one which board, this one should go, and which board that one should go, and who should get what. And they call an election day, and they vote out all UNC people from position, and they take position. All meeting dead. After that, all them multi-meeting gone. They're just like the COP. They wipe out everything. God have hope for the soul. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call.
I'll tell you, if somebody really sit down and write the history of politics in this country, and more than that, the history of non-PNM political parties.
Let's take another quick call before our Diwali segment. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning, Kiran. Good morning, all the listeners. I'm calling from Arima. Satish, when you're in a constituency or in a community and you said you're working for your country and you have a position within your political party, nothing is wrong in working for your constituency, working for your community. And if it is, you are bold and brave enough to identify yourself what position you're holding, if nothing is holding you back. Because I have done that for many, many years. I was the president of the village council, the president of the self-help group, and also the welfare officer of the constituency of the political party. And when it is, we used to have meeting, we used to invite the MP, and the MP is to come. We know where to separate what it is. But nowadays, some people say, oh, you invite the MP, let your political party know the thing about it. Your country comes first, not the political party. And if you love your country, you will serve your country. Thank you very much and have a blessed and wonderful day. And I do enjoy your program every day, Satish and Kiran. Thank you ever so much.
Why, thank you so much for the kind compliments.
I'd be very concerned about how she's speaking. You know? I said, like, you know, your blood pressure's be red, is it?
This is where we drop the curtains. But before we do, I need to send a birthday greeting to a young lady who's 23 today.
23, okay.
Yes, that's a loving niece. That's Vinita. Vinita, happy birthday to you. Coming from your mousie, that's Uma. And Nana and her mom and dad, Vijay and Nandini, and her sister Vitra, and of course, Nani Radhika, all the way in the US.
Then you tell them, no, you're not taking greetings, you're taking cash. This is not the time for greetings. This is time for cash in this economy.
Vanita, listen, take whatever you get. Happy birthday to you on your 23rd birthday. Just wishing you many more to come. This is where we drop the curtains, as you always say.
Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, and whomever you are supporting, please be very careful on our nation's roads, because in saving a life, the life that you save may just be that of your own.
Ye hai aapke manpasand Akashvani 106.5 FM, awakening the mind and spirit.